It woke. At least that's what it thought it did. There was nothing. And then there was it. What was it? Once, it was something. And the fact that it knew anything at all was an indication of that. Now it had to find a way to remember what it was. Perhaps if it figured out where it was, that might jog something. It was dark. Either that or there was no light, or it wasn't able to see. It was close. I could feel pressure all over itself. It was cold, yet warm. Cold above, yet warm below. Odd. The surface surrounding it was hard and smelled musty, earthy. Underground. It was underground, encased, trapped, imprisoned. Imprisoned. That was it. Whatever it was not supposed to be here, surrounded by rock and dirt. Now it knew where it was. But why? What imprisoned it, and for what reason? What might it have done? Did it deserve to be here? Had it been punished for some transgression, some vile act? How could that be, and it have no memory of the deed? Perhaps it was a victim. Or perhaps it was found guilty of a crime that it didn't commit. It had too many questions. Its mind, or what it believed was its mind, reeled at the possibilities. It had to know. It had to escape. But how? How far down was it? The warmth underneath it was not a good sign. It didn't know how it knew that, but it did. Wherever it was, it had to be deep. Very, very deep. Whatever it was, it would not be able to figure out that mystery buried deep in the earth. It tried to move. Tried to move its limbs, but it didn't seem to have any. It didn't seem to have anything. Nothing it could move, at least. It could not get out under its own power. It needed to be rescued. Perhaps if it called out, someone would hear. It did not believe it had a voice. But it would try anyway. It would call out. Someone would come. Someone would release it so it could live again. And be. It could be. Just be. Perhaps that would be enough. Perhaps more answers would come. So it called out. Find me. Find me. Find me. Find me.
Find me. Find me.
Welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 14.
So now it's time to go deep into the union negotiations.
Yes, and now we're going to go...
Now for the real excitement.
Yes, and Scott is back with us again, and we will jump into some political negotiations as we split the party, which is always a great thing to do in D&D. We sent our friends Kiernan and Zika and Grelb to the Forge Temple to hopefully free the halfling prisoner, Loretta Bumblecrouch. And we met Dorathius, the Inscrutable, played by our friend Scott, who is the associate of the Shadow Consortium that was sent to be part of the meeting with the Temple Master. And as we left our gang splitting up, the last thing that we saw of these two was them heading uptown to meet the Temple Master. And we will go back to that scene. So, you guys are meeting up in the morning at the Fork in the Road Tavern and heading out to the council district. So, the streets are relatively normal for this time of day. People are bustling about. in the morning. There's lots of activity going on in this very crowded section of town. So I don't know if you just were planning on hoofing it all the way there, or if one of you would have arranged some kind of ride, which is certainly possible.
I'm assuming the Dwarven Forge is paying for all this, so they're totally going to get us a ride. I mean, it would be barbaric to show up any other way, I assume. So,
yes, well, I
assume he's got this all in hand. He seems to have a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, I'm planning on walking.
Okay. This is at the point where you realize the Dwarven Temple didn't seem to put anything together for you, and you're just walking.
I am standing at front of the inn going, really? I had to stay in this crummy inn, and now I also have to walk?
So you're realizing why he had you get up this ridiculously early in the morning. Because at this pace, it'll probably take you a couple hours to walk. You're going to basically be coming from Crampton, going up the middle bridge, through the market, across the bridge, and then kind of catty-corner up through Council Heights to the Council District where the manors are. So, you get to walk in.
And I keep looking around for the rest of the entourage. So it's just us then?
Yes, the rest of my entourage is busy with other matters.
Ah, well, that's going to make a great impression. Should be great. I'm wonderful, but it's just me. And I will pull out a colored scarf and wrap it around so I'm not just in black and dark and shades of gray and do that and try to pull up the sleeves and reveal a little bit of the lining that, just to give a little pop of color.
Ah, well, we're going for understated, so I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yes, that's normally how these things are done, understated. Very good. We're really walking the whole way?
Yes, it's a morning constitution.
Excellent, it'll get us time to get to know each other.
Exactly.
All right. So, if you don't mind my asking, what are your compatriots doing? Were they investigating maybe the Legion?
Yes, they are doing some work regarding the Legion.
Good. I believe you entirely. We will be the best of friends.
And I'm going to need two rolls. I'm going to need a deception from Razor, and I will need an insight from Dorathius.
I have a 15.
Technically, I'm not lying. 11.
Okay. You're not lying, but you know you're not answering his question.
Yeah, I know. That's why I use the word technically.
Yes. Got. You can basically sense that he is technically not answering your question correctly. Are you sure? No, this might tangentially have something to do with what you're asking, but he is certainly not being 100% honest with you. But, you know, that happens a lot during the course of the day. And only has the matter of importance you put to it.
Yes. All right. I'll walk on, and I will be in a better mood when we get out of Crampton.
Okay.
As you come out of Crampton, you are heading into the lower market area. To either side of you on this street is a very bustling marketplace. There's the upper market and the lower market basically are in the dead center of the city, and they're separated by the river. The lower market is what you would expect of a lower class district of a fantasy city. So there's just tents upon tents and stalls upon stalls and people running about here and there, and it's kind of mildly organized chaos, where when you get across to the other side, everything is nice and spread out, and there are these stalls and stands that have been there for years and are very well appointed and dirty, and people generally come in there knowing exactly what they're looking for, and not a lot of people shouting at each other, you know, wheeling and dealing. It's more of a, you know, organized affair. The middle bridge is a few hundred feet ahead of you, and as you make your way down the street between these two marketplaces, you will both give me perception.
I got a 12.
I got 21.
Okay.
Too disgusted by how gross it is here.
Yes, you are distracted.
Even though I spend a lot of time here.
I'm sure when you spend a lot of time here, you do it, you know, in a very different way. Like, your expectations are not...
It's not this early in the morning.
Yeah, it's never this early in the morning, and it's not when you think you're... when you're getting ready to have a high-level meeting with a very important person. Not down here in this shitty area.
Marching for 2 hours.
Yes. You can probably not think of the last time you purposefully walked this far. Razor, however, you are very much used to this kind of thing, as you
absolutely
walk quite a lot, and we've gotten into this marketplace very well. So as you come up the street and are going around some stalls that are half in the street and half out. Like the street, you know, where the street is and the market ends in this part of town is a very loose agreement between streets and people. Some of these stalls go almost into the middle of the street, and sometimes horses and carts have to almost knock them over to get by. But a lot of people know to avoid this area and leave it to foot traffic most of the time. But you are not distracted enough to not notice a massive figure stride out into the middle of the street. And you see a gentleman about 6'8", bristling with muscles, and three smaller shapes around him. And he is blocking your way. And he looks to be a very large half-orc. Dorathius, you do not notice him at all, but you are pretty close to almost running into him.
God, it smells as bad here in the morning. I assume the smell got worse over time, but it's always smells like this.
What's your immediate response to this, Razor?
Well, I'll put my arm out in front of Dorathius so he won't actually bump into the half-orc.
Okay.
And my next response is, pardon me, sir, I believe you're in our way.
So, yeah, Dorathius, all of a sudden there's a hand in front of you, and you are stopped, and then you look up and realize you are almost about to step right directly in front of this huge half-orc. And you can give me just call this an intelligence roll.
It's too early in the morning for me. 9.
Okay, that's fine. Just want to see on the off chance if you had any idea who this was. You do not recognize this gentleman.
Well, look here, boys. What we got here is either a beardless dwarf or a dwarf lady whose tits haven't grown in yet. One or the other, but I'm pretty sure you're the fella I'm looking for.
And the thugs around the side of him just kind of titter at his hilarious, disgusting joke.
Well, are you in the need of some healing or enlightenment?
No, I'm not in the need of healing. But if you are Ordrum Flaskmaster, you will be in need of some healing.
And why would that be?
Well, quite simply this.
And then he swings a great axe at you, flat of the blade at your head. And at this point, we are going to roll initiative.
Oh, Jesus. That's a 5.
I got a 22. Because no one's swinging an axe at me.
Right.
Alrighty. Well, here's the good news. Well, no. Here's the bad news. Here's the good news is, in normal situations, Dorathius would go first. However, since you did not make that perception roll to notice his man coming, we're going to treat this round as a surprise, so you will get to act first next turn.
Woo! Next turn's going to be great.
So, at this point, so there are three gentlemen surrounding you right now. One of them, these guys are going to attempt to hassle Razor. So here we go. They're just doing unarmed attacks against you.
Okay.
Probably not great for them. All three of them are basically going to attempt to punch you. And the best we got is a 19.
Oh, they'll hit.
Okay. You will take 3 points of non-lethal damage.
All right.
And here comes the large gentleman, and he is swinging the flat of the blade of his great axe against you. And that is an 18.
That will also hit.
Okay. That will do 12 points of non-lethal damage.
That's a little bit
as
nice.
As he smacks you across the head, he says,
"Right! I need to know something, and you're gonna tell me, or you're gonna get the shit beat out of you."
And then we go to Razor.
All right, well, I'm gonna swing back.
Okay.
That will be a 21 to hit him. I'm using my mace, and I will also do it as
non-lethal. Do it as it's non-lethal? Okay. Oh, yeah, that definitely hits him.
All right. And he can take 10 points of damage.
All right.
And then I'm gonna use a bonus action to attack again. Oh, I miss. I miss wildly. Well, this is one hell of a conversation, but sure, I'll answer your questions.
And we go back up to the top, And now that is Dorathius.
All right, let's see. Well, they seem to be having a conversation. So basically it's the half-orc and three guys surrounding.
Yeah.
I don't super like those odds, but everything I can do about that doesn't help Razor that much. I'll cast Sleep.
Okay.
I will center it basically on Audrey and catch the people. And hopefully I won't catch too many random market goers because that'll mess up the
So you're going to roll a bunch of hit dice.
And that's the amount of hit points I can put to sleep. And it has to equal their hit points. Otherwise, it's no effect on them. That's a lot.
It's going to need to be.
36. And I believe it goes against the weakest people first.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think I'll take out the half-orc, but I might get rid of his friends, which is the plan. And I just read it is the lowest current hit points. So if my ally is in trouble, I might have just blown
this. Oh, well, what's your total hit points?
My hit points right now are 15, yeah.
Razor, you fall asleep.
Oh, great.
Oh, awesome. So that was a good spell then. All right. That's why they send the good people on these, man. Yeah.
So at that point, there are three thugs. They spin around on you.
And I'll yell, I got him!
Okay. Let's see how smart these idiots are. All right, so the three thugs just kind of stand there looking confused. And they defer to the half-orc, and the half-orc goes, right! Well, thanks. And then goes over to pick up Razor. Like he's just going to take him. Picks him
all
up.
All right, run over here and we can find out his stuff real quick. And I'll like try to usher them into a little alley or something where we'll be kind of undisturbed. The other dwarves will be looking for him. Come on, let's go.
All right, so give me a deception, please.
All right.
I feel like this guy's chances of seeing through your web of deceit are not good.
That is a 21.
Oh, Jesus. That beats a 7.
I know a place.
And you know that there is a place called the Underbridge that is directly underneath the Middle Bridge. And that is a place where people, largely people, the Shadow Consortium and other less than savory types, move about from the upper to the lower half. So you know that maybe about 100 feet or so, there's a big shade tree, and if you go under there, you go down this path, and then it leads right to the Underbridge. So they just grab Razor and follow you down there.
All right, this is great. I will keep a lookout, make sure there are no dwarves following us.
Steer
into the con, and keep going.
I'll just make some random rolls here to see if anybody gives a shit. And minus that for the fact they're in the lower half, and no one seems to notice. I mean, people notice, but they don't stop you. So the half-orc's got Ordrum over his shoulders, just casually throws him down on the ground. And as you hit the ground, Razor, you will wake up.
I want to work myself around behind Razor so he can see me, but like, so I'm over on his side of wherever we are.
Okay. I'm not going to have you reroll initiative, but I am going to start back up at the top. Dorathius, what are you doing?
Can you tell me a little bit about where we are here?
The area you're in is very shady. Basically, you're under the bridge, so it's very, very dark down here, even in the full light of day. There's just stone on one side, and then you can see the supports of the bridge, and then there's a chasm that goes a couple hundred feet down to the river. That's a good 50 feet away from you. And then from there, you know that there is a scaffold that is built into the bridge support that is hard to see down here in the dark unless you know it's there. And that basically leads you to a structure underneath the middle bridge where it's just basically like a tunnel under the bridge that goes to a similar thing on the other side. And at any time, there could be people coming in and out of here, but right now you seem to be alone.
Respectable people are sleeping at this hour. All right.
Pretty much.
I'm going to hold.
Okay.
I don't have too much to say. I'll talk. That's what I do best. Well, I'm sure if away from the crowds and we just ask questions like civilized people, he'll answer. And then I'll just hold my actual, like, doing thing action.
Okay. And then the other thugs will defer once again to the half-orc, and the half-orc says,
right, well, the halflings want to know where the leader of their little revolution's being held, and they say this one knows.
And you hear that, you're awake. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of towers over to you.
Where is Loretta Bumblecrotch?
Well, with any luck, she's being yanked out of a cell and underneath the forge and being returned to her friends and family as we speak.
All right. Give me a persuasion. Because you are telling the truth. You don't have to convince this idiot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we don't know that this stuff is not really your...
That's a four.
All right. Right. Yeah, he does not look like he believes you.
No, seriously.
And Dorathius, you get the sense that he's probably going to try and beat the quote-unquote real information out of him. So if you want to intervene, you can.
Wait, Bumblecrotch? Oh, Bumblecrotch. They moved Bumblecrotch. Bumblecrotch is in the town jail. The forge called in a favor. I know a way we can get her out, and I'll just keep talking so they don't beat him up.
Alrighty. Give me a deception.
22.
Okay. I don't think it's possible that any of these people could beat you. Even though one of them rolled an 18, it doesn't matter because they don't add anything. So the thugs once again look back over to Thulk, and it's your regular turn again.
I'm going to just keep on the same thing. It's like, okay, so they moved her there last night under cover of darkness. I just heard that. I can't believe that's what you want to know from him. There's all this other stuff people want to add. That's it? That's all we... Geez, you could have asked me. We could be done. We could be home now. And I'll just turn it into I'm exasperated that my time has been wasted.
Okay. Alrighty.
Right, well, seem to know what you're talking about. Nice try there, dwarfy. You're not getting one over on Thought Spine Chewer.
Yeah.
The dead eyes don't deal well with liars.
That means something to you, Dorathius. The dead eyes are one of the bigger problem gangs in the city. They have a tendency to be unnecessarily brutal in their dealing with things. They are a constant source of consternation to the consortium. The consortium spends a lot of time playing interference for these idiots. But you do know that they are very dangerous.
Yeah, they put that dwarf to sleep like nothing. So, yeah.
But, I mean, got I to rough him up, and I got to rough him up.
And then he takes another shot at Razor.
Well, he looks pretty bad already. Oh.
And he brings the flat of his blade down on you again, but you're able to roll out of the way, Razor, and it is your go.
Dead eyes, huh? Great. They didn't take my mace or anything, right?
Oh, no, they just had time to just drag you over here. And...
Yeah, that's fine.
I will say that your mace probably dropped, but I will say that it's very likely Dorathius picked it up for you.
Okay.
And I will say that you probably have dropped it next to you when you fell.
Okay, that's fine. So I'll just pick it up, and I'm going to smack this guy.
Okay.
First things first, I'm going to channel Divinity to make that a 23 to hit him.
Oh, yeah, that'll hit him.
And that'll be another 8 points of damage to him. And then I'm going to use another one of those bonus actions to attack him again.
Okay.
And again, yeah, the second attack never hits.
Okay. Well, you know, we always try.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then it's back up to you, Dorathius.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, one less crazy half-orc in the world isn't a big deal. So I will witch bolt him.
Okay, there we go.
14.
Okay, 14 unfortunately will not hit. However, okay. Dorathius throws his hands up and this wicked arc of unholy looking lightning just flies and hits the ground right by Folk Spine Chewer's feet. And the other thugs all jump up and they just don't know what to do.
You got what you came for. He's already got a bump on his head. I think everything's good, right?
Give me an intimidate, please.
16.
Okay. The thugs just kind of stand there, and then we get to Thulk. He turns around to you.
Right. Well, I think perhaps we can agree to disagree, Mr. Magic Man.
Stetharius, but sure.
He spins back around.
All right.
And attempts to smack Razor one more time. And, ooh, good lord. That's going to be another 10 points of non-lethal damage.
All right.
And then, Razor, you are next.
And so I'll smack him back for those 4 points of damage. And again, I use my next to last bonus attack thing. And, oh, I hit.
All right.
And that'll do another 9 points of damage.
Okay. So yeah, after Thulk just cracks him on the head again, Razor wheels up and just smashes him. He just stands there for a second. Right. Jail. And then just falls down. Dorathius, is your turn next.
All right. Off with you. Go, 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 go. And I'll use prestidigitation to create like little light effects around me that seem like they might be magical and scary.
You know, I mean, you roughed them up enough and then they just run away. So there's this unconscious giant half-orc down there and it gets quiet.
So that didn't go as planned. Apologies.
Yeah, well, it was okay until they hit me on the back of the head.
But the good news, nobody in the market saw you get beat up. That's a win.
Yeah, give me a minute. And I'm going to heal myself a bit.
Yeah, no problem. As you make your way out of the underbridge, you will see a carriage going just about to cross the bridge. And you will notice that the carriage is empty.
Excellent. We will get on that carriage.
Dorathius, you were able to flag the carriage rider, and for a few coin is happy to take you across the bridge, if you wish.
Absolutely.
Razor, are you okay with this?
I'm not going to argue with the man.
No. I'll get in the carriage and I'll gesture to the empty seats and like, look, room for an entourage. If only we had one.
I do, but it's busy, but all right.
He's busy seeing to that thing that he kind of lied to you about.
They were busy doing the thing that I kind of lied to you about, and then I told to a complete stranger that was trying to beat me up the truth about.
Well, I'm very confused. I have to
agree. Yes.
So, Audrim.
Yes.
Halflings want to beat you up because you imprisoned. What exactly is it you do here in Malshar?
Well, being a Lovian acolyte, lackey, I do whatever the Forge Master asks of me. And early on in my arrival here, he asked of me to escort this Legionnaires' Council through the city back safely to the Forge. And we caught wind of a halfling uprising rebellion that was going to catapult rotting fruits and vegetables at her and tried to convince her not to do so. Then they did so anyways, because you can see I'm a very convincing person.
You do have a way with people.
So we protected the council from the rotting fruits and vegetables and acquired the ringleader with the idea that she was to be paraded back through the streets and then let go after a little bit of public humiliation. Unfortunately, it appears that the council kept her in a cell beneath the forge, so they're a little upset with me for taking her prisoner.
Yeah, so you've never met many Claudians, then.
Well, no.
A little humiliation's never enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am relatively new to the rest of the world. Yeah, so the rest of my entourage, which you met the other night, last night, are busy getting this woman out. And for some reason, Folk spying to her didn't want to believe me.
Yes. All right.
And Dorathius, you did remember hearing the story about this weird food fight that happened outside of Council Heights where a bunch of halflings were flinging rotting vegetables at some Claudians. And you do now remember that you heard of this legate, Vasilia Novia Sabina, coming to town to do Claudian shit, whatever they do. But you're pretty sure that you grew up with someone with a similar name? And that might be the same person?
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's fine.
Looking at Dorathius' features and taking into account his name, you think he might be Claudian, at least by birth? But he doesn't seem like any Claudian you've seen or heard of.
I've met a grand total of 6, so.
Yeah, true. They do make an impression. So you get to the council district, and it is quite a place. It's the largest single district in the city. It also has the most open space of any district in the city as well. It is close to dead center of the upper half. And it's basically a large grassy field with some very pastoral looking trees here and there, just very artfully placed. There are 9 manor houses, all in different styles, and they are arrayed in a circular pattern around a big government building. It's a very fancy looking fortress. It is unlike anything else that you've really seen in the city. The walls around it are very high, so you really can't see much in it except for the tower spires around the main council building. The idea is that each council member has a manor here that they run their business from. They all meet in the big building in the center, and that's where the council meetings are held. It's all very ostentatious and a little much. But it really highlights the difference between the haves and have-nots in the city. Like, you could fit two Cramptons in here and have room for probably the entire square footage of Bale Melshaw. But most of this is just open ground. As you make your way through the gate here, you were stopped by guard. You were given an official invitation, essentially. So if you show that to them, they will say nothing and they will let you on. They will tell you to go to the second building on your right. The manor houses are all completely different styles. The Temple Master's building is a large, very fancy kind of cathedral-like building, but it does not belay any particular faith or denomination. It just looks kind of churchy. The Temple Master is a wood elf named Lorelei Lorel. All you really know about her is that she's apparently very old, and the rumor is that she is possibly planning to step down soon. Your carriage will drop you off. The carriage driver will ask if you need him to stay to bring you back.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes. Hang on. Let me rummage around. I'll take whatever coin we took off the unconscious half-orc and use that to pay for it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So the building itself is very austere. All the manses in the council building itself are guarded by this elite unit of guards. They have this very ostentatious filigreed armor. It looks more made for form than function. There could be a lot more armor and a lot less fancy bullshit, but you get the idea that these soldiers look like they could probably handle themselves. And once you get inside the building, you will notice a very different kind of feeling to this place. Though it has this huge open cathedral-like design to it in the center of the cathedral area. Is there like a... You're pretty sure this probably wasn't supposed to be here originally, but there's essentially like a small glade in the middle of this that's grown into the building. Trees have grown through cracks in the floor and a little babbling brook. You have no idea where it's coming from or where it's going. It's like a little forest glade in the middle of a building, and there's more than a few elves just meditating on rocks or just on the ground. And you're not exactly sure how to handle this, because once you're in the building, no one's really coming up to you. So, there you are.
I will look expectantly at Audrey.
Excuse me for a moment. And I will walk up to one of the elves that's not deep in meditation. Pardon me.
As you come up to the elf, right before you say pardon me to them, they turn around and then say, ah, you must be Brother Flaskmaster.
Yes.
We've been expecting.
Oh, great.
I am Elof. Follow me.
It'd be my pleasure. And this is Dorathius, my entourage.
And the elf just looks at you and says,
Patriot,
yes.
Would be fine.
You are not expected, but are no less welcome.
Thank you so much.
T leads you down a corridor to a small, incredibly ordinary-looking room with a table and chairs and a window looking off into some trees. This is not the kind of room you expected to be meeting one of the most important people in the city. Kind of like a room where you'd go and wait for somebody to take you to a place to wait for someone important. She will speak with you here.
Oh, I like it. It's functional.
I think it's going really well.
And there you are.
Well, we did get here early because we didn't walk the second half of the trip, so they're probably not ready for us.
Oh, I expect she's ready for us.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be that kind of meeting. Great.
I don't know. I just expect that she would know that we're coming. And know when we're coming. Even if we didn't. It's just a shot in the dark.
Anyway. time passes kind of uncomfortably like this for about 5 minutes or so, and then a door on the other side of the room opens, and a figure comes through. She is dressed in a very simple brown robe. She is tall and very elegant looking. She has long brownish blonde hair. There are flecks of gray in her hair and subtle crow's feet around her eyes, making her look impossibly old for an elf. Though you might guess her age if she was a human at maybe mid-40s.
I'll give a curt bow when she comes in and like stand and give a curt bow and not deign to sit until the mistress of the house says we can.
I'll bow and say, thank you for your hospitality, most revered one.
Oh, yes, no, thank you. Please sit. I understand you have matters you wished to discuss with us.
Yes, I do. And those matters have expanded since the time that I have initially sought your presence. And I brought someone else with me. I hope it's not problematic for you, but this person will speak on behalf of other individuals, so I think you should hear their voice.
And for the first time since you walked in, Dorathius, she looks at you, and she looks at you. It feels to you like about 10 minutes without saying anything, but it's more like maybe a couple seconds. But she just kind of looks at you, and then she looks beyond you, and then looks back at you. And
I'll just keep smiling at her.
Oh, yeah. In the back of your head, you hear, "Huh!" And that's it. I am not surprised that you are here. You're reaching out to us. Well, somewhat expected, but I did not know in which fashion that would be. You are not necessarily what I was expecting, but in your company, well, this is very interesting. You have concerns about your forge master.
Indeed. May I begin?
Certainly. Although I have to say, I was expecting someone to approach us with these concerns, but I did not initially expect it to be a dwarf.
My forge master is someone I have known for a while. I have not recently spent time with him, but in some ways he appears not to have changed. She's ambitious, which in of itself is not a bad thing. But at the same time that he's ambitious, he appears to have missed some of the things and the responsibilities and duties that are right under his nose. He has put most of his effort into seeking political allies and friends that would help him assume your position if and when you decided to relinquish it. During this time, he has passed his duties and responsibilities on to a capable dwarf, Miss Brenna Brightflame, who seems to be managing quite well in his absence of spirit, if not body. And she has maintained what has been going on in the forge for him. And if it was just that, perhaps the concerns would not be so great. He has no intention for her to assume the position of forge master if he was to move on. He is just using her. I'm not sure if you are aware of the zombie rot that is passing through this city. It can be contagious and can pass with but a brief contact with undead zombies. And it is something that has been happening right beneath his own nose. He's not seemed terribly concerned when it was brought to his attention. There have been Dwergar that have been affected by this disease, digging underneath the dungeons of the forge itself. And again, it was not something that was noticed except by a mere acolyte such as myself. There's a deep tunnel that was dug, perhaps by the Dwergar themselves, deep into the sewers, and could potentially be a risk to the entire city. Again, in his area, and he is not either noticed or deemed to do anything about it. And the most damning thing is he has brought the Claudians upon us as a ploy. Well, I should not speak of why. I do not know fully why he brought them here, but I suspect what they intend to do. Right now, while there is chaos in the city, they have a large military encampment outside, and they will come in and rescue us from our own chaos, installing their culture, their law, their rules under an iron fist. It is that which is the greatest threat, I believe, to this city.
and it is why I have brought Dartharius with us, as I have a proposal. The Shadow Consortium has long sought respectability, influence among the city. They feel like they are being persecuted unfairly. And if they were to help repel this military might of the Claudians, I propose that they get that seat on the council that they've been wanting. And then they will, in return, help straighten the chaos that they themselves cause sometimes, make it more orderly and better for everybody. And he'll bow his head and obviously end.
That is quite a lot to be laid on the head of someone. So
this is not all him.
Do you know about the elves? We are here. We have traveled to many worlds. Our purpose has been to look out for incursions from other planes. Our people were drawn to this world initially because of the nexus of Fey energy that was released in your northeast. But in that time, this continent has become a confluence of strange energies. And over the last 100 years, this has become concerning to my people as wars and conflict have become more prevalent. We all have our duties, we all have our functions, but there will come a time when petty concerns will need to be put to the back in favor of our very survival. I have been entrusted with the spiritual well-being of the city, and in so much I have regretfully stepped away from many of the day-to-day duties of my office. And in that time, there have been those who have seized upon this seeming inactivity. And she turns to you, Dorathius. And similar to your organization, many of the people beneath you, the organizations you claim to control, have ceased your consortium's seeming inactivity in stopping things to run riot through the city. So perhaps we are laboring under the same misconception that our caring for the bigger picture is dimming our view to things right in front of us. In the case of your Forge Master, I am aware of Brother Forge Cloak's intention, and he could very well be the next Temple Master of Melshar. But I believe if he is the next Temple Master of Melshar, the city will not stand long after that. Not due to his lack of caring or understanding, but of his lack of foresight. There is something that has been released, something that has been perhaps here longer than even the dwarves, and it has been unleashed, and it is moving towards a conflict, pushing towards inevitability. And it surprises me that your people, and she's looking at you, Razor, were not aware of this sooner. Or perhaps they are too close to see it. In any case, I must turn my attention back towards the city. This concerns me because if I do my job, I might not be able to help hold back the tides of the inevitable. You see, that puts me in an awkward position. So, and then her demeanor changes once she finishes the last statement, and then her bearing gets more relaxed, and she looks over at you, Dorathius. There are several concerns that the council has with your organization's inclusion in the council. How would you answer those?
Well, I mean, I would wish to know specifically what, but in general, I can certainly answer that concerns about vice or a wave of criminal activity would not be our way. We wish to keep things controlled and get a safe bastion. If things are under our auspice, we will take care of our own business, and there won't be any trouble with these more violent upstarts that just affect everyone poorly. So we're offering order, law and order, which I assume everyone would be interested in, and we will keep the darker aspects to the city, which we know will spring up no matter what anyone tries to do. We will keep those quiet, out of the way, and controlled. I think that is best for everyone. But if there is something specific you are concerned with, please allow me to answer that.
My concerns of your organization are academic. I understand the position that the Shadow Consortium has. The idea that crime and vice will happen no matter how effective law enforcement is. Your organization is predicated on the idea that you will keep these things controlled. There's a lot of school of thought about the mathematics of this change. The present formation of the council allows for a position of absolute, I don't want to say authority, but you see, there are 8 council members and the trade master. And in the event of a tie in the council, the trade master has absolute authority to break ties. With 10 seats, as opposed to 9 total, Office of the Trade Master will lose that privilege. There are many on the council that would like to see the change finally happen, that the founders of this city will lose their stranglehold by losing this position that they have. There are others who believe that, not wanting to give that up, the Trade Master will ask one council seat to be subsumed or perhaps gotten rid of altogether in favor of the Shadow Consortium's inclusion in the council. Those things do not concern me in the slightest, but that is, to many, the ultimate issue. And you know this has come up before, Dorathius, but the Shadow Consortium is open to really anything they decide. But that being said, you know that at the end of the day, you would need to have the support of 5 council members to pass anything. And that's always been the way it's been here. And if that creates a new seat to the table, then it becomes a huge thing. And it gives the people a lot more power. And it's something that is mainly spoke of behind doors, because it's been this way for such a long time.
Oh, I think there is strength in tradition, of course. But new times call for new solutions, new enfranchisement of those who have not had a voice. And if we cannot find a way forward, someday there may be another group that is worthy of a seat on the council. And by precedent, they will not get one if our claim is reduced. If the whole idea is simply mathematics, that is a temporal, immediate question. If we do not merit inclusion, and that is the council's will, then that is something. But if it is simply because it will make votes difficult, I think we have to strive for a better idea. But again, it is not for me to tell anyone how to vote or what they should think, but I can't imagine people of good faith and solid reasoning would take this mere potential mathematical issue to be any reason to stop us. The benefits that we will bring and the idea of giving voice to people who have never had one, I think will show in the long term much better for the whole city. But I know no one wants to feel like they're giving up power, but what we were asked, we wouldn't ask for some other council to vacate their seat for ourselves. We would bow to the wisdom of the council if that's what they wish to do, but we are just seeking inclusion, and we care deeply for the city and its people. We would not exist. None of us would thrive without them, and that is what we want. We want a voice. I must bow to you and the other councilors' wisdom of how they give that, but I can't imagine something so temporal as if someone's power can be just so easily swayed off, I'm not sure they really have power. Anyway, these are heady questions for another time.
Yes.
I'll smile at that and just be like, hopefully that's like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Well, in the matter of simple mathematics, which I agree is a very petty concern and very reductive, not at all in keeping with the best interests of the people. In the light of the current situation in the city, I will offer my support to the Shadow Consortium, provided that they keep to their word. I can assure you that the Lore Master will abide with my decision, as we have been working hand in hand with each other in the more existential threats. The Works Master has been compromised by your organization, so you can rely on his vote. Dorathius, you know, because you're fairly high up in the organization, that the Shadow Consortium uncovered the Works Master's creative accounting and basically has been blackmailing him, basically saying, you know, we'll expose you unless help us. So that answers the question as to why all that shit happened in the sewer the way it did. I can tell you that, of course, the Trade Master will hold their vote. The Harvest Master is a halfling. I believe the Claudian threat would be enough to sway her. and that fifth vote. Even if the lawkeeper agreed with your assertion, which he might, I don't know, the lawkeeper would at least symbolically vote against you. Mm-hmm. The defender more than likely as well. However, this Claudian concern might sway him. The harbor master, I'm sure there is something your organization probably has up their sleeve for that position. The watcher is the only one that I can say. If the watcher is doing their job, then they know all that's going on. But the office of the watcher has been relatively quiet over the last few months. And there is talk that perhaps this is the seat that the Shadow Consortium could subsume if that was to happen. They are the most similar. A general meeting of the council is coming up relatively soon, and I believe this matter might be taken at that. And I haven't decided exactly yet when that's going to be yet. I'm going to leave that a little bit nebulous as I keep painting myself in the corner with saying exactly when things are happening. So it'll probably drop when it has to.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I believe the threat coming to the city can be dealt with, but, and she looks back over to you, Razor, I believe that this threat is only the tip of an iceberg that could upheave this entire world.
Well, that is what me and the Forge are preparing for, and perhaps why it is so disturbing that this city's Forge Master neglected his responsibilities for personal ambition.
Yes, that is unfortunate. I will, and she reaches into a pouch at her side, and then she hands you a stone. I give you this. This will allow you to send messages directly to me if there is anything you feel I need to know. So basically, yeah, it's a sending stone, which basically allows you to communicate with another person magically. But this one is specifically targeted just to her.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a direct line to the Temple Master, but you get the impression that this is not like a, you know, hey, I got a question, you know.
Right.
This is something that is giving you a reverence. And then she looks back over to Dorathius and says, you can tell your masters that they can rely on my vote. And obviously they, I'm sure, already know how they want to position themselves to make the rest of this vote happen. But if the decision becomes to subsume the office of the Watcher, for example, to keep this mathematical stranglehold on the city, they should beware of the fallout that that could have.
Indeed. For my part, the Shadow Consortium will diligently do all we can to protect this city from threats within and without. And we thank you for your support in the council.
Well, this has been a very productive meeting. I need to return to my meditations, but if this bears fruit, then perhaps the city will survive. In the meantime, she sits back and then kind of drifts for a minute. And then she snaps back right to you, Razor. Your friends need you.
Well,
now you should go to them.
Very well. Thank you for your time, revered one.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I assume he's kind of bustling out, and I'll be like, oh, I should go.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And then she looks kind of over your head. And you.
One minute. We're going to need to do something.
All in good time.
The servant of two masters. And that is where we will draw our story to a close for today. Things seem to be moving in the right direction. However, back at the Temple of the Forge, things could be falling apart faster than anyone could possibly imagine. What will happen? Will we see our friends again next episode? Yes, we will. We will see them next episode.
But for how long?
Yes, thank you for dropping back in, guys. And I want to thank Scott for being our first guest player of our little podcast and doing a wonderful job playing frustrated warlock Dorathius the Inscrutable.
Yes, well, thank you for having me, and you know anytime you need a frustrated warlock, this was great. And thanks for having me, and best of luck, and I look forward to being an important trivia answer.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank
and
you.
And Razor, you can take the coach. It's cool. I'll make my way back. It's fine.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot again for everyone holding through this. This is a fun little experiment that I think worked really well. I think we might see this fellow again. And I'm going to open this up to the listeners. If you have any questions, anything you wish to get to us, I will let you know. And I'll probably try and insert this in some episodes that will come out before this one. That we have an email address now. That's right. You can send us an electronic mail.
Fancy.
Yes. At entropypod. That's entropypod at gmail.com. If you want to be a guest on this show, or if you have any questions about, you know, what's going on, if you have any gripes, you want to hound me about rules I've messed up. I don't care. I'll take anything at this point. Thanks again. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Thanks, as always, for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yep. Bye. Bye.